Amen. Thank you, worship team. Let's pray. Father, your word is awesome. It is true. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It is life-changing. And it's so much more than we'll ever really fully grasp on this side of heaven. But I pray today that, Father, give us a glimpse of yourself. God, give us a glimpse of how you speak to us through your word. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And this is for your glory and for your honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We began a series last week. We're going to continue with it this week. But the title of the series that we gave it this week, in life, are you just taking a walk or are you following Jesus? Now, maybe that picture on the left describes how your life is sort of daily. You know you're moving, but you're not really going anywhere. You know there's something out there that you would like to get to, that you'd like to finally be a part of, obtain, but you're still feeling like, I'm just not getting anywhere. So we begin this morning with the title of the series is, Just Taking a Walk, Are We Following Jesus? But we got to lay a foundation, and that's what I'm going to try to do for you this morning. So I'd encourage you to listen quickly because we got a lot of points to get through. Okay? So this morning we're going to talk about Bible engagement, the Word of God. If you brought a hard copy of the Word of God with you, will you lift that up this morning? Who brought an actual hard copy of the Word of God? That would be a bound. Okay, Dusty, I don't see yours. I'm not just counting because you raised your hand. All right. There's no doubt that we have greater access to God's Word in any translation with notes and study notes like never before in the history of mankind. But is there any transformation? Is there any understanding of the one who imparted his word to us? Is there any hunger? Is there any desire? I would say it to you this way, that there's never been a time in history when we're engaged more on the surface, but we're more disengaged with our souls. We can give a lot of good lip service, but can we give any heartfelt sharing how God's word has touched us, how he's changed us, how we've embraced it? Hebrews 4:12 simply says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. If I didn't put anything else up there for you today, right there, the word of God penetrates to the very depths of who we are. It knows our feelings, our emotions. It knows our wants, our needs, our desires, because it is him. And if he created us, then he knows every nuance of us, every little detail of us. So he intended for his word to touch the tender spots. And if you're living this life in this culture, you should have some tender spots. Because you should be feeling their culture. You should be feeling the pressure to be the salt and light. You should be feeling that God has a higher calling to walk closer with him than you've ever walked. You should be feeling that. If you're numb to that, then you might want to think about questioning yourself this morning, saying, why am I numb to what God is trying to do in my life? Have I checked out? So this morning, we're looking at laying a foundation. Bible engagement, why be in love with God's Word? Point number one, so he can reveal his character to us. I'm going to give you seven total, but I probably could have come up with 70, truthfully. So I want to encourage you to do something. As I walk us through this, allow God to show you more than those seven I put up there. That's okay. Allow him to do that because he is speaking. So he can reveal his character. It says in 1 John 4:7-10, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What's his character begin with? He is love. He does everything from a point of love. So when he composed his word, or his written word for us, he was doing it out of love. He was not doing it because he wanted you to have one more thing to do. He was doing it because it was so important for you to start to begin to understand his character, his nature, his qualities, his attributes. It was all in there. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's just an awesome passage, I think. It just permeates. It emits love. Let me ask you a question. When you're in God's Word, do you feel love for it? Do you feel love for the Word of God? Because in it, He's going to reveal His character, beginning with the nature of Him who is love, done from a love, a heartfelt desire to know Him more intimately. So His character that we see throughout the Scriptures, we can mind that, we can get deep in it because it wants to get deep in us. So point number one, so He can reveal His character. Point number two, to understand our identity through an intimate relationship with God. I just said He's love, but it says in Ephesians 5:1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Please understand this. When He's talking about dearly loved children in Ephesians 5:1, the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus is in essence saying this: if you want to have fulfillment, if you want to have meaning, if you want to live with a purpose, then understand your relationship is one who is under the care and tenderness and mercy and grace that has something good for you that begins in this life that carries over to the afterlife through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So He's saying, follow God's example and understand that He loves you and you get to reciprocate that love back in a trusting relationship. So I'd ask you this morning, as you're looking at being in love with God's Word, are you willing to trust that His Word is true? That even the parts that maybe you don't understand, the parts that maybe you can't explain, some of the parts that maybe just simply don't make sense, or it's hard to pronounce, that as a child of God, we're in a trusting relationship. And part of that trust is we don't understand all of it. I'll never understand completely, I believe, on this side of heaven, every word that's in His Word. But I do know this much, that does not allow me to make an excuse to stop pursuing Him through His Word. Big difference. I don't get to say, I don't understand, so I don't read it. I don't have to understand it, so therefore I'll wait for somebody else to explain it to me. We are in a time and a place where God, I think, is calling us deeper and deeper and deeper into knowing Him and to understanding Him. Because God's Word really is Him. It is alive. It is eternal. And we have to start with those truths as we look at why we love God's Word. You know, I'm not asking today to read it. I'm not asking you to read it at all. And we'll come back to that at the end. I'm asking you, do you love Him? I'm asking you, do you want to fall in love with Him so you can fall in love with His Word? Point number three, John. To be filled with His Word, which helps us with sin. I got some very disappointing news for some of you in this room. You still sin. I still sin. I still struggle with it at times. You still struggle with it at times. I go to a men's group on Friday mornings, about 200-some guys called Band of Brothers. Kenny Grant oversees it. And for the last couple, 3 months, one of the things that they're promoting is called a Conquerors series. It's an ex-Marine Air Force pilot put it together, and it's for men that are struggling with pornography. And they're meeting right now on Monday nights down at the Baptist Center. They're getting ready to start meeting on Wednesday nights at Calvary. And you know, one of the great things I love about every week when they're talking about it, they're not speaking condemnation. They're saying that God wants to set you free. That God wants to set you free. He doesn't want you to walk under that condemnation. He wants you to be free. God's Word hidden in our heart that we may not sin against Him. He wants us to be free. But to embrace the truth has to be something that we have to be in love with. We don't get the truth without getting Him because part of His character is truth. So when you're looking at Psalm 119:11 and it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. In essence, one of the things that the psalmist is saying is your word is in me, which therefore produces a fruit that is not of sin. That I'm changing on the inside. That I hate the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I love you, your Holy Spirit. And I love your ways. And I can recognize the difference. That you can recognize the difference. And we're in a crucial time in our culture. And I think one of the reasons why I point that out to you, point number three, is this. If we don't know what sin is, then how do we explain what sin really is? Because until I know I've sinned, then I don't need a Savior, right? Okay, do you understand that Paul says we're still working out our salvation? There's still that battle that rages inside of us. But what are you filling yourself with? And one of the foundational truths is, let's be in love with God's Word. It is precious. And let it go down to the deep, the more inmost parts of us. Number four, John. Why be in love with God's Word? for guidance in our daily lives. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you know what? I really believe this because this is the way sometimes I live my life. My version of the treadmill is not running in one place, but running to 27 different places and asking God to bless me when I get there. Instead of saying, God, where is it you're taking me? God, how is your word showing me some things about me? How are you developing in me a godly character? How are you developing in me a godly attitude? Because if I'm going to show up with the same attitude that the world has, it doesn't really matter where I go because nothing's going to be any different. So is His word a lamp to my feet? Is it giving me guidance? Is it showing me the way? Is it showing me things about myself on the way? Because I believe often we do. We run from point to point saying, God, come on, join me, man. I got something good going on over here. And God says, not going anywhere because I'm not working over there. I'm working over here. And God can show you things through His word about how He works, through promptings, through words that other people might deliver to you, but through His word and truth. From the beginning to the end, by the way, got a valuation question for you. How much of the Bible do you just discard because you say you don't like it, don't understand it, can't pronounce the words, or it doesn't apply to your life? No show of hands. I don't want anybody showing their hands to that right now. But I want you to think about something. For everything you say doesn't apply, that's probably what God's trying to tell you right then and there. Because that's an eternal truth. You see, that's not a lamp to my feet when I'm in trouble. That's not a lamp to my feet when I'm confused. That's not a lamp to my feet when, God, where are you? That's a lamp to my feet when I'm right on the path He's got for me. But you know what's interesting about that? God doesn't say I'm going to light the whole path. God says it's a lamp to my feet as we're taking steps together. Big difference, church, big difference. Falling in love with the essence of His Word. So important. You know, I think about something on number four here. I give you a thing is this. We can't go back in time as individuals. So we can't start our life story over again. But today, we have an opportunity to allow Him to speak to us to where He would really like for us to begin, how He'd like for us to begin to live our lives today. Today. I'm not show of hands, but I just wonder in the masses this morning, January 20th? January 21st, right? How many of you have been successful with that New Year's resolution? How successful have you been? Paul's got his head shaking, so okay, all right. I challenge you about what I'm getting ready to say to you. One of the biggest reasons why most people fail at New Year's resolutions is they never connect it with the desires of their heart. They always leave it up here. They always leave it up here. They try to figure out some way to keep it going, and it never connects to right here. There's no passion in the purpose. It's just an academic exercise. And then what happens is this. When they don't succeed and they give up or they quit, then it was okay because they never did have a passion for it anyway. God wants to give you a passion. Number five, John. Why be in love with God's Word? To come to the realization of the battle that surrounds us and how to fight it. Genesis to Revelation. There's a battle going on. And some of you feel it, some of you sense it, some of you acknowledge it. But how often do we try to fight this battle in our own flesh, through our own knowledge, through our own understanding? We're physical beings living in a spiritual world, and it says in the book of Ephesians and the book of Isaiah, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I said this to you before I read the Isaiah passage. This, if I told you that someone had written that today to you, like today, could you have said, yeah, that's today that they're talking about? So 2,000 years ago, God spoke through the Apostle Paul to write some words that's very applicable today. So I think part of what being in love with God's Word is simply this. Wake up. Get in the game. Be aware. Your enemy is not your spouse. In fact, this is going to be tough for some of you. Your enemy really aren't your children. Your enemy isn't all those people that you see in front of you, that there's something going on that you can't see. But Paul is saying, I know there's a battle, but I'm giving you instruction. And then Isaiah 28:6, He will be a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Don't have time for all that explanation of what Prophet Isaiah is telling you there, except this. I'm going to give you a quick thing about Isaiah 28:6, and that is this. God's Spirit will help you judge between what you need to know about the battle, how to engage the battle, what's going on in the battle, and He's going to help you with the mind. He's going to help you have a passion for Him so you understand He's not asking you to fight the battle on your own. He's not asking you to engage on the battle on your own. That He's going to be with you and that He will accompany you in that. I caution you against something today. We are on January 21st, and I've talked to you a little bit about New Year's resolutions. I want to ask you a question. Do you live your life according to God's standard, or do you live your life according to your standard? Do you live your life according to God's standard, or do you live your life according to your standard? Because I want you to know something. I have been guilty very often of asking God to give me strength for my standard. And what's so sad is my standard's so low, and He's offering strength for up here. He's offering strength to push through and not be led by my flesh. He's offering strength to recognize that there's a real battle, but how I should pray accordingly, how I should read His Word accordingly so I can therefore engage in this battle that rages around us. So I ask you to think about that for just a second. Are you asking God to simply give you strength for your standard or His standard? Because as you fall in love with God's Word, one thing that's going to open up to you over the course of being in His Word, I believe, is this. Seeing that the battle has always been going on and that He is very active in it, but at the end, the battle, we are victorious. We are victorious. Number six, John. To renew our minds and know God's will. It says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our culture has no problem offering the body part, but not holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you know what we can take away from that? God doesn't desire for you to be confused. He doesn't desire for you to live a life of chaos, of confusion, of bewilderment, or being in awe of not knowing what to do. God says, if you will come to Me, I can show you. I can renew your mind. I can give you thoughts that please Me, but you have to do it in an act of worship. Think about reading and being in God's Word. Being in love with God's Word is simply an act of worship. Think about something for just a second. If you open the Word of God, whether it be electronically, hard copy, or whatever, if you open the Word of God and said, God, I'm doing this as an act of worship. I'm not doing it to get something from it. I'm giving it to please You, to offer my time with You as an act of worship. How God could renew you. Because I would think probably today, many of you just simply need a renewal. Just a renewal. You need a body renewal. You need a spiritual renewal. You need an emotional renewal and a mind renewal. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What was it we read early in Psalm 119 one about allowing God's Word to be in you, about lighting a path, helping you deal with sin and speaking to those very issues? Do you need a renewal today? And point number seven. For courage to change our culture by accepting you have been sent. It says in Joshua 1, 8 through 9, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We talk about sending you guys out all the time. I'm sent, you're sent, we're sent. But I believe one of the reasons why we struggle so much with being sent is we're fearful where we'll be sent. That we might have a fear that God would ask us to be around or talk with somebody or engage in somebody that we really aren't that comfortable with. So God is offering, if we'll take His Word at face value, says, I'm going to give you courage because I'm going to be right with you. But you got to absorb all this truth and allow it to become who you really are. Because in the face of the battle, we don't have time to waver between, do I have what it takes? Do I not have what it takes? That when we're in the battle, when we've been sent, that God is saying, yes, you do have what it takes because I'm with you and you filled yourself with Me because you've been in love with My Word. And so therefore, you've been in love with Me. And so therefore, I'm not going to abandon you and I'm not going to leave you. You don't have to be worried about rejection. You know, one of the reasons why most of us struggle with evangelism in America is because we still struggle with fears of rejection. What are people going to think about me? What is Jesus going to think about you? What's God going to think about you? Is it easy all the time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But He assures us in His Word and many other places that you know about, do not fear. I am giving to you, I am imparting to you an opportunity to go and fulfill my sending commission to you. But if you go out and you're, one of your foundation things is you're not in love with God, then you're not in love with Him, then you're going to love less than Him. And then you're just going to do kind of whatever satisfies that fear. You're just going to kind of go to the bottom feeding. And God is saying, I want you to have courage by realizing you have been sent. Matter of fact, I come across something that's it's not in the PowerPoint, but I want you to, I looked up the word courage. And here's what it is. Courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is C-O-R, or core. It's the Latin word for heart. When it first came into origin, or originated, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. I'll say that to you again because it's not up there. To speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. If somebody came against your family or somebody you cared about, You dig down deep to find the courage, but you don't sit around going, do I have what it takes? You're immediately ready to defend. God's asking us to defend Him, to defend His honor, to defend His love. So your heart, you can have courage. God is saying, do it, but fall in love with His Word and His ways and allow ourselves to engage. Because remember what I told you at the beginning? We're very surface level people in our culture, without much depth to understanding God's ways. And of course, the irony is at any given moment at our fingertips is every translation in the Bible that's ever been on the face of the planet and all kinds of study notes and anything we'd want to know about it. But I want you to think about something for just a second before we get ready to go to some application points is this. In our culture, one of our classic ways of defending why we don't do something is with these following words. I just don't have time. If I could turn this mic off, which I could, but I won't, because I told Doug Dorman last night about this sermon, I said, it's going to take supernatural restraint to not yell. I can't tell you how I detest those words. Because I guarantee you something, you, just like me, had time to watch something on the internet, something on some version of binge-watching shows. You got on YouTube and 2 hours later and 65 videos later, you got on one website and it had a link and 34 links later, you're still reading, okay? So, either you're filled with you or you're filled with Him. I'm either filled with Dane or I'm filled with Him. And I'm going to allow either or, but it won't be a both and. It won't be a both and. So let's look at some application things. Go ahead, John. Throw them up there, brother. So what are we going to do today? How are you going to engage God's Word? You see, number one, that's why I said that to you. We don't come to God's Word wanting something from it. We come to God's Word on His terms. And I believe one of the starting points is simply this. I need to repent of my sin. Before I open the Holy Word of God and begin to read it, examine yourself. I know we say that a lot of times for the Lord's Supper. But how about examining yourself before you read God's Word? Come with a heart that's humble, realizing that you're still on the journey. How about with a hungry heart? I tell you this often, I'll tell you again today, you need to pray that God would give you a want to be in His Word. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil will say, you've got it, you know it all, you're good. Come before Him with an attitude of gratefulness. There's people around the world that are paying with their lives to have a copy of God's Word. There are people around the world paying with their lives to give a copy of God's Word. There must be something in them that motivates them that's bigger than them. And I believe one of the things is it's a love for Him. It's a love for His Word because they've seen the impact it made on them and others. But I also believe part of it is thank you, God, for the ability, the capacity to read and understand what You've shown me that I have the privilege of reading. Make a commitment to spend time in His Word.
And number six, allow yourself to be held accountable to this commitment. And then you see the question at the bottom says, what commitment to God and His Word are you willing to be held accountable starting today? Last week, Pastor Rick talked to you about a spiral, an up and down thing, that it's not perfect. I'm not asking the day we walk out here and all of a sudden this afternoon we start learning Greek and Hebrew. Okay? I'm asking you, where is God asking you to be held accountable? Because it's not always going to be perfect. Life does happen. Okay? John Foxworth still believes I stole his Bible. I don't know why he thinks that. But he still believes I stole his Bible. Okay? I just know that if I took it, it didn't look like it ever was used. I don't know. Sorry, John. But, tomorrow never gets here if that's when you're going to start something that's important to God. So I want you to think about something for a second. What commitment to God and His Word are you willing to be held accountable starting today? That spiral, the ebb and flow, the successes, the failures. Look, God will honor you having those first six things. So even on the days where it doesn't happen like you want it to happen, God's still going to be blessing the fact that you have a want to. But I have one more practical challenge for you. It's going to sound weird, I know. It's going to sound really odd to you. I'd encourage you to stop plucking out a scripture or two and start reading the whole. And what I mean by that is one or two scriptures, that might be your starting point today. I'm cool with that. But build off of it. Find your first building block this morning. What are you going to build off of? I would encourage you also to allow God to show you where He might want you to start reading. Since I was picking on John, I'll give him some credit for just a second, okay? John came last year and he started meeting on Wednesday nights with a couple of the youth reading the Bible. That kind of went for a little while and kind of ceased. Back over Christmas break, he brought it back up to me again. On Wednesday nights, for the last two Wednesday nights, John and I and Luke and Ryan made it one night and Ivy Richburg made it one, and all we're doing, you know what we did? This is crazy, right? This is insane. We opened the Word of God and we just started reading it to one another for an hour. That's crazy, isn't it? Teenagers reading the Bible, hard copy too. We didn't even use digital. I know. What could possibly happen next? I know one thing. I wake up on Wednesday mornings looking forward to it. I do. So I know one thing right here. The old guy in the group can't wait to get there. And it's not because I know all the answers, because I don't. We're just reading the Word of God. So something maybe today is who you're going to read the Word of God with. Where are you going to start with the Word of God? What's your building block? There's nothing like it. No other book has stood the test of time. The truth is eternal. Moms and dads, we have the privilege to impart that to our children. We have the privilege to impart that to our children. So what commitment to God and His Word are you willing to be held accountable to starting today? The reason why I told you tomorrow never comes is this. God has something in His Word for you today. And it wasn't just the ones I read to you. It was you investing and being involved in God's Word. So what commitment are you willing to be held to today? You got yellow cards there. I'd encourage you to put something down you want us to be praying for this week so you can be held accountable. I'd encourage you to ask yourself, who am I going to be accountable to? I would offer this. You have Dusty, Rick, and I. You have our phone number. Text us. What do you want us to hold you accountable to in God's Word? What do you want us to be held accountable? If that's not good, find somebody. Spouses, turn to one another. Friends, turn to one another. What are you going to be held accountable to? In this day and age, to not know the Word of God inside and out is not a God problem. It's us taking ownership and saying that Word is life-changing because it goes to the deep innermost parts. So look at that list as I pray for us. Dusty and Rick will come on down. We'll open up the altar. But I encourage you to take advantage of those cards, an opportunity to help allow us to hold you accountable. So I'm going to pray for us and just think about these things for a few moments. Let's just pray. Father, we acknowledge that, Lord, I don't always take reading Your Word seriously. I confess that as sin. Because You're serious about it. Men and women have gone before me to pay the ultimate price so I can sit in the comfort to read it and be a part of it and allow it to change my life. God, I pray today for us to go to a new level of ownership a new level of hunger, a new level of want, a new level of gratefulness for your word. God, I pray you won't let up on us. I pray you won't let up on us. Lord, I pray you get us the fear of someone asking us a question we don't know the answer to. God, I pray you'd forgive us of the fear of if I don't get it right, if I mess it up. God, you're gracious and you're merciful. Father, you're awesome. Lord, I pray today you give us an insatiable love and longing for your word. It's a blessing. Thank you for it, Lord. The altar is open. The baskets, you can bring your cards and your envelopes this time. You can come forward and pray with somebody.